This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We're looking at Money Mondays, money, 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 money. So this is what happens, and this is where we find ourselves as a country, right? Smaller businesses are becoming the way out for many families right now, as opposed to going the formal jobs route, simply because of the scarcity of jobs. So people nowadays are now formalizing their side hustles, so to say. So you know the side hustle that you do? Well, people are deciding, you know what, actually, maybe it's time for me to look at formalizing the side hustle so that it brings a consistent income. But then it made us think around how, because of the economic climate that we're living in, and where one job may not necessarily be enough, where we need a diversified income stream, how do you start? And what are you looking for if you want to actually be a startup? How do you start up a startup? And how do you spot those opportunities in the market for you to make money? How do we formalize the side hustle? And how do we realize that the side hustle can either yield a profit or cause bankruptcy? I'm taking your calls on 0861987000, especially for those of us who want to start formalizing the side hustle and want to start up a startup. We're going to get information now from Khayalakhe Ndlovu, who is a consumer education analyst at the Financial Sector Conduct Authority. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, Khayalakhe. Welcome to Power Lunch.
Thank you very much, Faith. Good afternoon to the Power FM listeners, and good afternoon to yourselves as well.
You know, we always speak about a diversified income stream simply because of the times that we're living in and the financial climate that we're in. Many people having to now do something on the side so as to bring something home. But how do you start identifying that the side hustle could actually be something that could bring in a consistent income?
Thank you very much, Faith. And that is a subject which is very close to my heart as well. But before I start, maybe if I can give the listeners the background of who the FSCA is. The FSCA, the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, is the market conduct regulator of financial institutions that provide financial products and financial services. Financial institutions that are licensed in terms of a financial sector law. There we're talking about banks, insurance companies, retirement funds and administrators, and the market infrastructures as well. On top of that, the FSCA has a mandate to educate users and potential users of financial products and services. And this is one of those programs that we have with you. And we must thank Power for giving us the opportunity to be here and actually educate our potential and users of financial products and services. When I go to the subject of what you are mentioning now on entrepreneurship, we know that entrepreneurship has been in the tongues of all the prominent people in the country, including our president, especially during the first lockdown that we witnessed last year. And you're asking a very important question because youth, because mostly I'm passionate speaking to youth, but also the Power FM listeners. The question and the big question is the idea. Where does the idea emanate from? I'm going to start by quoting what Mr. Olano Makubela, our former commissioner at the FSCA, said when we launched the Global Money Week earlier this year. He said, how do we help our youth who are innovative to start a business and also to navigate during these difficult times? Yeah. My answer is simple. The reason why many people might fail to take the risk and start a business on their own is that they lack an idea. If you do not have an idea, you must conduct your research. You know, the ideas can come from everyday activities, including household duties. Could they be a quicker, a safer, a easier, a cheaper, a more pleasant or less boring way of doing something? Are there products you could make cheaper or better? Visit shops, talk to your friends, go on social media, read newspapers, and listen to the radio. Look at whether there's an idea associated to any of your sports or your hobbies, and look at the community or area where your business will be located to see whether there may be a need or a gap for the opportunity that you want to present to that community. While many people start their small businesses within the informal sector, to be able to qualify for finance or apply for tenders, or even to get a business bank account, you will need to register your business as well as register with the South African Revenue Services to be able to pay tax. If you plan to register your business today as a company, you will need to register.
Get into the issue around the logistics and the operational and the admin that is required to register a business. But I want us to still be able to speak to, how do I know that my idea is a good idea? Because right now we're dealing with a market, unfortunately in South Africa, right? We've got a market where when one releases T-shirts, I remember it was in 2008 or so, there was this huge T-shirt boom. One person decided to do T-shirts, and then we had everybody who's anybody crafting out and doing T-shirts. And then you sit back and you go, "Kanti guys, kanti khatsalang." You know, so one person releases something, the entire market goes and flows in that way. One person decides to launch a marketing consultancy company, an entire marketing consultancy. One person must just say, "I'm a project manager." You're going to get an influx of project managers. That means clearly that we need to be able to unpack ideation. So if we had to go to design thinking, for example, and use the model of design thinking, the ideation part of design thinking is needed. How do we ideate?
Yeah, you know what, as you mentioned, and I must say, in business competition is good. And there's always going to be the problem. We might identify it as a problem, but actually, when you enter the business space, you must know how to differentiate your product, because if you do not differentiate your product, it's more like leaving the window open. And other people are going to copy your idea, and they might even improve on your idea and actually sell the very same idea. But now when you start up a business and you have an idea, first you must do what most of the people know as SWOT. You must know what are your strengths, because your strengths are going to your strengths and your opportunities will guide you in terms of, where am I now? What resources do I have at my disposal? What is it that I am able to do? You know, most people want to start a business and already they want to see the business booming. They want to see the business idea being big. But it's always good to start small. That is why most people start in an informal way, because it's good to start small and grow with your business, knowing what your strengths are. Having analyzed your market, you must see if when your idea starts small, who is your market? Is it a sustainable market? Is it people that repeatedly support the business? And then you know that you can expand from there. So the big thing with the idea is that you must know what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, because if you know you've got weaknesses, you want to avoid starting a big when you know that you cannot actually be able to keep the business rolling. So as soon as you start with your strengths and your opportunities, is there a need? Identify a need in a particular area where you want to place your business, because we all know that you cannot place your business no matter how great the idea is, but you must do a needs analysis. Who are you targeting your business to? Now we know it's COVID-19, and we know that most businesses have been disrupted also by the riots that took place last week. And then there's those things that are said to be essential. What the business idea that you want to bring to the ground, is it an essential business? Is it the product that you're offering or service? Is it essential? Are people going to support that idea? Are people going to support that business? Are they going to buy your product or services during now the times of COVID-19? Is it something that people need, or do we need to wait until the pandemic is over for you to introduce your business? So It is very important to understand who your market is, to do your market analysis, also to understand your own personal strengths, because remember that entrepreneurship is mostly on self-reliance.
Got you. And we're going to speak a little bit about that. And also, how do you start something with nothing?
How do you start something with nothing?
You know, a lot of times when it comes to businesses, many of the entrepreneurs will say, but I don't have a capital. I don't have a capital injection. I don't have the capital investment. How do you start something with nothing? Also, Power Family, how many of you have managed to turn your side hustle into an actually working, functional, consistent business? I'm speaking to those that have managed to formalize their side hustles. Please tell us your story. Share with us 0861-987-000. How did you turn your side hustle into a formal business? Dr. Tirani Mabunda, you want to add your voice in this? Good afternoon.
Hi, Faith. How are you?
Very well, thanks. And you? Go ahead.
All right. I wanted to just say that in terms of those that would like to turn their side hustles into formal businesses, the DNA of a business, Faith, lies in its conceptualization. If you conceive a small business, it will certainly grow into a mature small business. Small businesses don't grow into big businesses.
Mm.
Big businesses are conceived as big businesses from the outset, even though they too have to start small before they grow into their blueprint. So I thought I should put that out there.
Just repeat that. Small businesses don't grow into big businesses, but small businesses grow into?
No. I'm saying if you conceive a small business, it will certainly grow into a mature small business.
A mature small business.
But big businesses are conceived as big businesses from the outset, even though they too have to start small before they grow into their blueprint. So it's very important to think that if Raymond Ackerman says, I want to build a chain of Pick and Pay, he must conceive it as a chain, even though he will start with one supermarket.
Oh, I get it. I get it. You have to think with the end product in mind and then work your way backwards.
The blueprint has to be correct from the start. So if someone has a spaza shop and they conceived it as a spaza shop and they're dreaming that the spaza shop will become a supermarket, it will remain a dream because it will never become a supermarket. They should have dreamt of a supermarket, even though they will start as a small spaza shop. Then they'll grow it into the supermarket because the blueprint is the supermarket.
So then, Dr. Tirani, how then do we start? How then do we start working backwards, right? So right now we're in a space where many people, our black people, have to make the decision of becoming entrepreneurs, sometimes by circumstance, right? And just simply because of the economic climate that we're finding ourselves in, the need is there. We need more money. So then how then do we start envisioning that big? What would account as that big business? How do we know that our vision is bigger than ourselves, where it's that big business, so that it enables us to work backwards to start from A?
Yeah, but you hit it on the nail. You said people whose circumstances force them to go into business. So in business, you have two types. There's necessity entrepreneurs and there's opportunity entrepreneurs. Now, you're speaking of a necessity entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a person who is not necessarily a natural entrepreneur, but is forced to go into business. Now, most of the times, people like those will not have the big ideation dream you're talking about because they are thinking of just earning money. And those people in mature economies or developed countries, as soon as the opportunity for work avails itself, they close their business and go back to work.
Sure. So you have to, does that mean that businesses need to be established not from the place of lack, but maybe from the place of abundance, so that, especially the big businesses, so that you are able to withstand and think that far? It was almost like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? If your basic needs are being met and you're at the self-actualization point, then you're able to think for the future.
Yeah, Faith, to appoint 1,000 people from small businesses, you need 800 of them. And if it's the big one I'm talking about, even if it's a small opportunity businessman, he could start, you need only 5 to appoint 1,000 people. Because there is that snowballing that happens because it's an opportunity business. So even for the country, Faith, I hope we had more time. Even for the country, it doesn't help the country to support necessity entrepreneurs. Because you'll have to support 10,000 of them to create 15,000 jobs. So there are a lot of nuances that should be understood. And those people who you are supporting as self-employed or necessity entrepreneurs, they don't even want to run businesses. They are risk averse. They are not the people who want to start a Google or a Facebook, you know? So those are the issues.
Dr. Tirani, mouthful said. Thank you very much for that. And I'm taking in your call, 0861-987-000. We're talking about starting up a startup. How did you turn your side hustle into a consistent and sustainable business? And how are you managing that? Let's go to Acacia. Hi, Hamlet.
Hi, Faith, and to the listeners.
Yes, sir.
Look, Faith, I mean, you know, I agree with a lot of things that Dr. Tirani said, but I just want to add and say that you asked the question, how do you, you know, start something with nothing?
Yes.
Now, you see, once you've got that business idea that, you know, is backed up by a passion and it's driven by passion, and it's something that you believe that it's workable. At times you do that, that's just the first step. Do that, make sure that you have the market, even if it's one or three clients who are committed to say, we can give you orders on this product or on this service. You know, and with that type of a commitment, you know, I mean, in a bigger scale, they call them offtake agreements, but, you know, they're still pre-orders. You can get finance, you know, based on that. I mean, I've started a business selling chickens, all right? You know, like it was a side hustle. Today, I own a huge retailer that sells chicken that is almost 100 times bigger. But, you know, it has to start small. Like Dr. Tirani said, you know, I've never imagined it as just, you know, selling 5 bags of chicken to Koko and Masangukwale. I envisioned a wholesaler, and that's almost where we are right now. But
awesome.
But if you can't start with nothing, and you can end up with something, it has to be patient driven. If you are an entrepreneur that is driven by immediate sort of results and gratification, you cannot work. I had a 15-year, you know, plan to say, this is where I want to be in 15 years. And I can tell you, you know, that most of some of those objectives and goals were achieved, and they were surpassed purely because of you gotta be there. You gotta be there every day. You gotta believe in what you do. Doors will be shut down, but when doors are shut down, it does not mean it's not working. It might mean that it's going to be delayed for a little longer, and you might have to revise your market strategy or your market penetration strategy, rather.
I like that. It means that you might need to pivot. That's usually the term that they use. Kabelo and Alexandra, hi.
Hi, Faith. How are you?
Good, and you, sir? Go ahead.
Good, thanks. Speaking to Kabelo from Alexandra.
Hello, Kabelo. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm actually listening to your show, and I thought I should put a 2 cent worth of my experience.
Add your 50 cents, when Akabelo. Skare 2 cents. Add your 50 cents.
We
are talking money here. Money at 50 cents. Talk to us.
For Shiva. Listen, I started my side hustle selling cleaning chemicals, right? Of which my uncle is actually manufacturing chemicals, the detergent and stuff. So I was actually selling on his behalf. And then I managed to build my own clientele up here in Johannesburg. Then I realized that, you know what, I can take this in further. Then I registered myself a company. The company has been registered and vet registered, and I managed to get quite a number of clients. Now, as we speak now, I've got my own shop and I manufacture my own chemicals. I'm now standing alone. I'm no longer depending on my uncle.
That is fantastic.
So I thought maybe I should just encourage people that you never give up in life.
I like that. Thank you so much, Kabelo. And all the best with your business, hey? All the best.
No problem.
Kailake, when we're looking at the concept of a business plan, not to sound unpopular, but there's often a thought that says people don't invest in business plans, people invest in people. And if the financial institution, if the market trusts you, in often cases, they will take a chance of you. But that sometimes the business plan is not enough. Your take?
You know what, Faith? I would like to disagree slightly, because an idea, if you have an idea, remember that when you put it down, a business plan really is not going to guide your business every day, but it is your idea, it is your reference plan. Mm. You always go back to your business plan to look at how things are going, where you are coming from, where you are going, where you need to improve, and how do you scale up. As we all know, that a business plan is an important tool for managing and growing a business. So a well-designed plan will lay off your vision, your growth, and then your steps that you need to get there. And it is an important document when you apply for finance. Remember, the FSCA works very closely with the National Empowerment Fund, mm-hmm. and we know for sure that you will never take advantage of the funding from the National Empowerment Fund if you do not have a good and proper business plan. And I must put it out to the listeners that the National Empowerment Fund has now put, because when I was in conversation with them, I said, but people say it's very difficult to put together a business plan. And then now they have developed a business plan, which is available on their website. You are able to access it, and then it requires their details that you will submit to them whenever you take advantage of the funding which is offered by the National Empowerment Fund. So I would like to say to people, a business plan is not an old thing, or it's not a nice to have document, but it is a guiding document of where your business is, and you want to know how your business is growing, yeah. and how.
But
you're
then,
going
just
to
interject
access.
There, what makes my business plan more acceptable than the other person? If we're just basing it purely on a business plan, right? We wouldn't have the inequalities that exist within our small business realm, anyways. So, what makes Faith's business plan not work, but Danisile's business plan all of a sudden it gets championed, where the two may just be completely the same thing? What makes somebody invest in one but not invest in the other?
Well, Faith, first I would say, how would you know the details of another person's business plan? If an amount of research and the passion that you put into the business idea, I had a doctor saying earlier, some people enter the business place the space because they see an opportunity, but some it's because of passion. So if you do a business with passion, you actually, as I highlighted earlier, that you know your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities, and your threats. You put them down on paper. You already know what resources you require in order for your business to prosper. So also the amount of research, the time that you spend researching the resources, researching all the kind of support that your business needs, you are able to put that down on your plan. And also, let's remember that what makes your business attractive, or rather what some of the institutions like your NEF look out for, at times there's the kind of businesses in certain industries that they are willing to fund. Mm-hmm. So you might find that maybe your business is established in a different industry, the one that they do not fund. But what I always encourage them is to say, if someone then submits their business plan, and then there's documentation that is required to accompany the business plan, they want to take advantage of funding, should they not be successful, go back to them, let them know why they were not successful, and what is it that is required more to what they've submitted in order for them to take advantage of the funding. Should that not be on your line of the businesses that you fund? And then can you not redirect them to other funders that you work with as the government institutions to say, you are not successful as at the NEF, but you can try maybe a CIFA, or you can try other institutions that may find your business. So,
Kailaki, we have to leave it there for today, but thank you so much for your time. I think what this has done is shown us how there's an appetite for us to understand our starting up of a startup, Power Family. And you tell you what, we're going to see how we can get all of those guys, the CETAs, the CIFAs, we're taking NEFs, all of them, ne? We're going to find out how to make your startup successful on Money Mondays. How do we make your startup a startup?
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.